Kitetze, there's a mitzvah that you're not allowed, or an iser, you're not allowed to bring into the Beit HaMikdash an etnan zona and a mechir kelev. Etnan zona is the money that is paid to a prostitute. As in, people donate money to the Mikdash. Everybody gives their, you know, just like now, people give tzedakah, they give their maaser ksavim, whatever it is. So people give money to the Mikdash, and even prostitutes, whether or not they're on paths of tshuva and trying to repent, or just in general, may also end up giving tzedakah. The world's not black and white. People are multifaceted, and this woman may want to donate money to the Mikdash. So the money that she earned from her transaction, she's not allowed to donate to the Mikdash. And the Torah tells us, also mechir kelev. What's mechir kelev? The money paid to buy a dog. The money paid to buy a dog. You have a dog for sale. I don't know how much a dog costs. I'll make it up. $100. And now you have that $100 bill. And you want to donate that $100 bill to the Mikdash. You're not allowed to donate that $100 bill to the Mikdash. Okay, that's the Isser. And the Netziv, in his commentary, giving you one of the Divrei Torah from my website, vortfinder.com. Look it up after the shir. Has an interesting comment. He has a perush. And then he has a super parish, okay? Super commentary, okay? So there's the Hamek Dover and the Herchav Dover. So Hamek Dover says, as this, everybody can intuit why it's inappropriate that the mechir, the enan zona, can't be given to the mikdash. Money paid to a prostitute coming to the mikdash, everyone understands. But a dog, we don't understand. And it's specifically a dog. You could buy a horse, use that money. You buy a pig, okay? It's not just a din because it's a non-kosher animal. Like, we don't learn it as like a binyanav. This is the rule for all cases where money is used. Specifically a dog. And the Netziv says, the way it's phrased is the Torah is teaching you, as disgusting as you understand that one is, because we have things that we understand, mitzvot tzichliot, there's also chukim. And the Torah doesn't like, Hashem doesn't like the mechir kelev. And in a super commentary he says, while we're talking about dogs, let me make the following observation. Even today, in the 21st century, Tziv's not talking the 21st century, but I'm saying, okay, without opening up a can of worms, we have, people in society may have changed what they feel the definition of love is and what the definition of marriage is. It may have happened. You may have heard about it in news and Supreme Court cases in whatever country and movement you've heard of and read of, and you may have no friends and people and who knows what. But still, even today, it is not yet, maybe it should stay this way, okay, accepted to have relations with an animal. Okay? That is not as accepted in society. Okay, you're with me on this so far? Okay. So says the Netziv, the amount when if you were to hear of a person having a relationship with a dog. And I don't mean that you play fetch and catch with him, but having a inappropriate relationship with a dog, you would hear about it and you would go, ew, gross. Okay? You might not say it, you might be polite, who knows what. But when you hear about it, it doesn't sit well with you. It strikes you as something's off. You don't understand how. He said, you know, we all have things that we like and we don't like. You know, that you might like chocolate or vanilla, and you might like sports, and you might like reading, and you might like fantasy, and you might not, and everybody has the things they like. And so, yes, I might not like the thing that he likes, but I understand the thing that he likes. Okay, so he likes sport, you know, comedies, and I like dramas. So, okay, so, or I like action movies, and you know, there's all sorts of genres, and just like I like one kind, so I understand the concept of liking it, and he likes a different kind, I can relate to it. But when it comes to having a relationship of that type with an animal, we just don't get it. We just don't get it. And says the Netziv, the same is true of the way the nations of the world see our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. They don't get it. They don't get it. I don't know if any of you had less from friends, secular friends, neighbors, in Jewish or not Jewish, where you are, and what? You're going to Israel for the year? You're going to a Middle Eastern village to study ancient Aramaic texts, as we What are you doing? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. And that's how the nations of the world look to us, as though we're saying, yeah, I have a relationship with a dog. Yeah, no, I have a relationship with a Kaddish Baruch Hu. To them, it's like you said, I had a relationship with a dog. That's what the Netziv says. The way we don't understand that is the way they don't understand our relationship with a Kaddish Baruch Hu. There was this man, I don't know how many years ago it was, came from a, he wasn't quite Amish, but he came from a backwater town, and he had never seen an elevator, and he had some kind of issue, and he had to go meet a businessman in the city. And he travels to the city, however he gets there, and they tell him he's, go up to the 50th floor of the building, that's where his office is, he's an important man. So he's like, okay, 50 floors, wow. And where he's from, I don't know, probably the tallest building was 2 stories, 3. So he's like, okay, where are the stairs? Let's get this over with. They're like, no, there's a thing here called an elevator. You go in, it'll take you to the 50th floor. Okay, so he goes into this, the elevator opens up, he goes in, and he stands there, and the door shuts. And he doesn't know what to do. And the lights go off, because he doesn't push any button. And he's starting to get scared and claustrophobic. Hello, the guy said 50th floor, what's happening here? And he's worried, and he has no idea what to do, he has no concept. And all of a sudden the door opens, and somebody else comes in, pushes the 50th floor, and they go up. And he gets up, the elevator. To everybody else, you're entering an elevator. They have no idea what you're doing there. Maybe you're not doing anything here. And that's the Sikha Musar. You're here for the year with an incredible opportunity. Incredible resources at your fingertips. Incredible Rebbeim. Rashi Yeshiva. A library. Huge library with so many amazing Sfarim. Older Talmidim. Kola guys. Israeli Talmidim. There's so much going on. Everything's taken care of for you here. Laundry and food. Everything you need. All you got to do is show up and come and learn and take advantage of it. All you have to do is push the button. Push the button. When you get in the elevator, you have to push the button. Otherwise, you just went in the elevator and left. You just went in a box. What, you went through the motions? You went to a year in Israel? You didn't take advantage of it? There are a lot of people like that. You meet them in the year of Israel, wherever the... this yeshiva or any yeshiva. They went, and it was just something I did. And that's also what Elul is. Elul is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to regroup, figure out what you're doing, what you want to do, what you're trying to accomplish this year, what you want to be, your relationship with Bona Shalom, what kind of Oved Hashem I want to be, what kind of Davener I want to be, what kind of Jew I want to be, how much Lashon Hara I want to talk, how careful I want to be about guarding my eyes, how much careful I want to be about saying nice things to my friends, about expressing my karas atov to everybody who's taking care of me and doing things for me, be it the ramim or the kitchen help or anyone who's doing something for me. That's when you're deciding. Elul, it's your opportunity. Elul is the elevator. Oh, I just thought of that. Okay, Elul is the elevator. It's the elevator. You have to, but you're in it. Okay, the elevator took you, the train left the station. It's your job. You got to push the button. Got to take advantage of it. Okay. There was this man who had a job, and he was he had a job at a railroad crossing. Cars would go through, and when a train was coming, he had to put the gates down, and the cars couldn't go through, and the train would go by, and then he'd open the gates up, and cars can go by again. And he had this job for many, many years. It's a job, an honest living, he earns a paycheck. Really boring job. But it was a job. That's what he had. And nothing extraordinary happened in this job. I don't know, 2-3 times a day a train, I don't know how many times a train came by. He'd put the gate down, put it back up, all was well. One day, his car is coming and is stuck on the tracks. And all of a sudden he sees the train coming and the car is stuck on the tracks. So he's got to stop the train from coming, or there's going to be an accident. So he has all sorts of signals And he's trying, and it's not working. The train is coming, still full speed ahead. It's going to crash into the car. It's going to be bad for the car, bad for the train. Oh, no, this is why they hired me. This is terrible, and I'm not, you know, I didn't prevent this. And he comes out, and for emergency situations, this was his training, he had these lanterns. It was like two lights, and he takes them, and he runs out to the tracks, and he starts waving for the train to get the train to stop. The train didn't see it. Crash. Terrible accident. And the man was called to testify at a trial. The insurance was, you know, being sued for millions. The negligence of the train company, of who knows what. And he goes and he tells and he testifies. Yes, I was there. I pulled the signal. I pulled out the lanterns. I was waving them. I was screaming. I was blowing my whistle. Nothing. Didn't work. And okay. When he got off the stand, somebody saw how nervous he was. And they said, "You did everything you were supposed to do. Why are you so nervous?" And he says, "I didn't know what I'd answer if they asked me if I turned on the lanterns." So, but guys, you're here for the year in Israel. Okay? It's pushing the button. It's turning on the lanterns. It's all the same message. You have to take advantage of where you are for the year. And it's the same message of Elul. We have an Elul, we have Rosh Hashanah, we have Yom Kippur coming up. It's an opportunity. You have to tune into it. Okay? Right now there's radio waves in the air, but you're not getting any music. Why? Because you don't have a radio here. You need to turn on the radio, you tune the radio, you get a station. But it's always here, you're just not listening to it. Okay? You have to tune in. That's what Elul is. Elul is tuning into it. That's what your year in Israel is. That's what your year in Yeshiva is. Multiple years in Yeshiva. That's what they are. It's taking advantage of the opportunities that you have to dedicate time to yourself, to grow in your Avodas Hashem, to grow in your learning. So you have to make sure that when you get in that elevator, you push the button. You have to make sure that you're not waving an empty lantern. In this yeshiva, Baruch Hashem, we have dedicated staff, and not everybody on the staff, you know, we have a maintenance staff and kitchen staff, not everybody on the staff is a Jew, okay? Not everybody's a Jew, okay? And before Rosh Hashanah each year, the yeshiva office makes like a little thank you, haramak kosit, they call it, you know, a little l'chaim with grape juice for the staff. And everybody's invited. And one year, one of the workers who's not Jewish got up and he said, "Listen, you all have your holidays coming up. We just had our holiday coming up." He was referring to Ramadan. Okay? And he said, it's not enough that you just had the holidays, that you went through it. It's got to change you. It's got to do something to do it." And all the Ramim were elbowing each other, going, "Got to get him for a Sichas Musar." So he's not here. This was a few years ago. I mean, he might still be working here, but I'm saying he's not here giving the Sichas Musar. I'm relaying Muhammad's message to you. Okay? It's not just going through a year in Israel. It's not just going through an Elul. You have to push the button. You have to put in the work. You have to work hard. You have to learn well. You have to take advantage of this incredible opportunity. It's only the opportunity, it only makes sense to us, any different than the Umot HaOlam. The Umot HaOlam look at us and they go, "What is this they're doing, spending the year here? What are you doing? What is this Elul you're doing? What is this Rosh Hashanah you're blowing shofar?" It all looks strange to them. It looks as strange to them as a relationship with a dog would look to us. But it is strange unless we're doing it right. Unless we're taking advantage of the opportunity. So, if I were to leave you with one message, it's that when you get in that elevator, remember to push the button. Shkar.